Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, February the 14th, we're going to take up the claim, and it's often made. You know, it's really helpful when people make claims like this just to say, where did you get that idea? Do you have any substance to back that up? It's often claimed that abortion is the safest medical procedure in America. Certainly, they claim, safer than childbirth. Childbirth is downright dangerous. Abortion is safe. Safe for everyone involved. Now, you might already note that there's something wrong with the statement in and of itself. We'll deal with several reasons why the statement is patently wrong. Joining us to do so here on Issues Etc., Jay Hobbs, editor-in-chief of Pregnancy Help News, author of a column for The Federalist titled Fact Check, Abortion is Not the Most Safest Medical Procedure in America. Jay, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks, Todd.
What do you make of the head of NARAL Pro-Choice America and many others referring to abortion as a medical procedure?
Yeah, Todd, first of all, the quote was from the California director of NARAL, but like you say, it's just such an often trotted out, it's a lie, it's a canard from the abortion industry to even refer to abortion as a medical procedure, I think is definitely misleads in terms of the euphemism. One of the things that we in the pro-life community, I think, really need to get a hold of is this narrative of abortion as healthcare. We need to push back against that because it's the opposite of reproductive healthcare. It's the intentional ending of a human life, which of course we know that and understand that within our circles. But I think it's very helpful for us to push back when we see words like medical procedure and healthcare. It's far more than that. There's a moral component that we need to continue to push back on.
With respect to the argument that it is the safest medical procedure in America, the first response you have is to simply point out the obvious that half the patients die in abortion. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's an amazing evasion, isn't it, of language to, again, to bring up abortion as if it's a tonsillectomy or as if it's just a procedure where you go in and you need a surgery and you come out and you're just fine. Well, even if that were the case, which sadly we know that's not the case, women do get physically injured during abortions and it happens frequently. But even if that weren't the case, again, you can't evade the moral equation that involves a person made in God's image who's being destroyed during that abortion.
So the term here really wouldn't even be dangerous. It would be lethal, wouldn't it?
I'd say that. One of the amazing things that we tend to think of abortion, I think, in terms of our public discourse as a necessary evil, as something that is just here and that we have to kind of deal with and make sure that we draw circles around to make sure that legislatively we're protecting women and we're protecting families who go and get abortions. And there's something to be said about that in the interim, but again, we can't take our eye off the ball and remember that we're talking about people who lose their lives, and those people are unborn and they're vulnerable, and it's unacceptable. We need to push back against that, I think, consistently.
As you pointed out, the statement was most recently made by Amy Everett, the state director of NARAL Pro-Choice America for California. Why is it important to note that we don't really know how many California babies are aborted?
Yeah, it's a tragic thing, Todd. I'm actually a native of California, and I used to work down at Concordia, down in Irvine. And as a Californian, it really destroys me to think about the fact that California, as well as Maryland, don't even have to report the number of abortions that they perform in their state. There's absolutely no reporting guidelines. And this is one of the things that abortion-supporting politicians in California bring up as a cudgel to use against pro-lifers when it's brought up that so many babies are aborted in America each year, or that 60 million babies have lost their lives since Roe. Politicians in California will fight back and they'll say, hey, we don't know. We haven't been counting. And that's just unacceptable. Again, if this was any other medical procedure, if it was actually a medical procedure, you'd know exactly how many tonsillectomies. It would be unacceptable to not know that. And we're talking about the taking of a human life, and we don't even know how many there are. And that just really does underscore, I think, Todd, the irrationality of abortion, and the fact that once you've dehumanized people in order to take their lives, it's fair game in terms of anything can happen. It's very hard to draw lines once you've accepted the murdering of innocent children.
When regulations are put in place to try and ensure the safety of abortion clinics, what usually happens?
Clinics close down, plain and simple. In Texas, of course, the Texas law that was put in there in 2013 and finally was overturned from the Supreme Court this last summer, that law, all it did was to introduce ambulatory surgical standards on abortion clinics, which to those of us that don't operate in terms of medical terminology and legislative terminology, all that means is that an abortion clinic would need to be able to fit a gurney down their hall, and that they would need admitting privileges within 30 miles of their clinic. And what happened when that law came into effect in Texas is that half the abortion clinics closed within 2 years. And what does that tell you except the fact that rather than seeking the health and the well-being of women, who even that they're offering this procedure they call the most safest in America, they're not even willing to fit a gurney down the hall or bring a woman to a hospital who needs help during a botched abortion, which, again, we know that happens. There's too many cases that are documented for us to not know that.
So in other words, there really is, in the cases of some abortion clinics, in particular those in Texas you mentioned, they can stand no scrutiny of their medical procedures without going out of business.
Yeah, and Todd, I know I'm sure you and your listeners have heard the cases of, you know, the extreme case of Kermit Gosnell out in Philadelphia, who ran an illegal late-term abortion clinic that for about 25 years that there was never a state inspection during about a 25-year stretch in Philadelphia, and it finally came out that he was delivering babies alive and snipping their necks with instruments once they were born. And of course, for us who understand the value of life from a biblical perspective, the taking of life at any point is inhuman and intolerable. But to know that happens and state officials aren't even allowed because of the power that the abortion lobby holds in certain states, they're not even allowed to go in and inspect these clinics. Again, it just points to the dehumanization of abortion. That once you've dehumanized humans, it's really difficult to come up with any rationale of why you should limit it in any respect.
And it's often claimed that abortion, well, may not be the safest thing in the world, but it's safer than childbirth. What do we know about that?
Well, we know that is a bizarre statement, but that doesn't keep it from being said. And that was one of the things that was trotted out by Amy Everett over there in California. But, of course, you don't have to dig very far in the annals of the abortion industry to find that this claim that childbirth is somehow safer for the woman than abortion, that's the most bizarre understanding of both childbirth and abortion that you could really come up with. And the Centers for Disease Control have actually come out and stated and made very plain that the two data points of abortion and childbirth, that they're not even there's not even enough similarities in the two data points to even be able to compare them. So when you hear statements from leaders in the abortion industry that somehow giving birth to a child is more dangerous than aborting that child, again, that's overlooking the fact that not only do we know that to not be the case, but in my report there in the Federalist that they printed, I think it was that 27 states in the United States currently aren't even required to report complications from abortion. And that's for the mom who goes in and gets an abortion. If she has a physical complication in 27 states, they're not even required to report that. And so to say that childbirth is more dangerous than abortion not only is a moral evasion to the actual question of should we be doing this in the first place, but is there's absolutely no way you could prove that, even if it were the case, which it clearly is not. But that's one of those things that is made up out of whole cloth and gets trotted out as if it's science. And it's one of those things that when we look at the abortion lobby and we look at a lot of what's going on with our friends on the left, it's something being made out of whole cloth and trotted out there to deny biology, to deny science in the name of science. But these things are powerful euphemisms and tools that the abortion industry uses, and we just need to be aware of them as pro-life believers, that this stuff is out there and there's nothing to it in terms of truth.
Sounds like what we need is some legislation to require just simple reporting, medical reporting surrounding the abortion procedure. What would you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing thing that legislation, any legislation whatsoever that inhibits abortion in any sense, which would even include reporting abortion numbers, believe it or not, that is virulently opposed by groups like NARAL, groups like Planned Parenthood. And the reason that they oppose every law, and I don't say virtually every law, they oppose every law that puts any sort of reporting or restrictions around abortion. The reason they do that is because the more light comes to such a dark industry that exists on the taking of vulnerable lives, it is absolutely abhorrent to them. They can't take that. And so they oppose at every level any sort of restriction or even reporting on abortion numbers. And so that's one of the things, again, that we need to be aware of and cautious of, that when we are having a hard time coming up with numbers, one of the reasons is that sin hides and darkness hides itself, and the more it's exposed, both by our good works in terms of helping mothers who need help through pregnancy centers, or whether it's through legislative efforts to try to head off or at least raise the standards of medical care that these facilities are not providing. Every time that we see that opposed, it's helpful for us to remember just who we're fighting and that this is a spiritual battle in truth.
So when one of our listeners is at work and the coworker says, well, everybody knows that abortion is the safest medical procedure, or abortion is safer than actually having a child, bringing a child to term, what's the best simple answer they can give as a response?
I think one of the things that we need to put into practice more and more often is presenting a life-affirming narrative and not just an anti-abortion narrative. We want to be able to speak life into people's lives. A coworker who might be citing, these statistics that are, again, they're made out of whole cloth for the most part, and when there's ever any shred of statistics behind them, you have to remember that it's an incomplete statistic or if it evades the actual moral question. So I think what's helpful for us to remember is so many of our coworkers, so many of our fellow believers in church pews are dealing with the loss associated with a past abortion as well. So we need to be sensitive and remember that just because someone is citing a stat that may be wrong, there's probably something deeper there. They may have lost a loved one. They may have made an abortion decision at some point in their past. And what they need is hope, and they need healing from that. So even as we deliver information and context to folks, I think we need to remember our role as gospel witnesses, that we need to be aware that people are struggling from that, from the pain of decisions related to abortion.
Jay Hobbs is editor-in-chief of Pregnancy Help News. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled Fact Check, Abortion is Not the Most Safest Medical Procedure in America. And you could read it and find a link to Pregnancy Help News at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jay, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Tom Baker is with us on the other side of the break to teach a Sunday school lesson, the familiar story of Jesus walking on water, according to Mark's Gospel, next.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt. And the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.